Good evening. Welcome to ShedX Lockdown Legacies, episode number 2. I'd have to apologise for the messing about earlier. We had some technical difficulties getting Dom connected and up and running. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Dom is going to be here pretty soon. And we'll be able to invite him and get him running. In fact, here he is now. Here we go. Hi, Fred. Hi, Josie. Dom! Oh, mate.
How are you, son?
Yeah, that's better. We can hear you now. There was I was just explaining that earlier when we were trying out, there was a lot of sound problems and video problems.
I think the sound might have been because I had this Apple thing on. I wonder that might have had something to do with it on the back thing on it. But listen, it's all good now anyway.
Yeah, there's no feedback at this side whatsoever.
Well, there we go. Excellent. Then.
Excellent. So what we'll do is we've logged in a little bit early to give people a chance to come in.
Come on.
And then we'll start in a couple of minutes, if that's all right.
Of course it is, mate. I'm ready, mate. Ready.
Right. Can you hear me better now? Is that better?
Yeah, mate. It's all cool, mate. It's all cool. Let's turn that light so you can hear this better. Look. So that, hold on. So, no, you ain't lost me yet, don't mate, son.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a bit of a background. Yeah, it's better like that. That's it. Better.
Watch this, though. Watch this. Alexa.
Get on then, what we got?
Light down.
Oh, here we go. Pipe down or light
Alexa,
down?
Living room light down.
takes a lot of notes of you, don't it, mate? Oh, here we go. Is that what you call the old woman?
Well, she calls me worse, I'm telling you that.
I'll bet, mate.
Yeah. Oh dear me. So we've got a few people in.
You've got a couple there, mate. I've seen my mate Russell, good old fireman there. That's what
Hi,
like
Russell. My personal assistant Josie's on her way home, but she is watching. Okay. My wife is lurking in a corner somewhere as well, watching too. Hi, Jason.
No swearing, mate.
So we'll just give it a few minutes. We logged in a little bit early just to sort of make sure that we didn't get any sort of technical difficulties as we did earlier, because it was a bit of a nightmare. So yeah, evening Russell.
Yes, that's my pal. He's any angry breakfast, so I'm on to that one. You ain't getting away with that, Russ.
Yeah. So, right. What time are we on?
You tell me, mate. I don't live my life by a watch.
Yeah, I hate them, to be honest. We've got about 4 minutes. So we'll give it a couple more minutes, let a few more people jump in. I know your brother was jumping in, if he's jumped in already. Yeah, Fred.
Yeah, he can pipe down.
Yeah, there he is. Hi, Fred.
Yeah.
11 people. Dum-da-dum. Yeah, so he's just getting used to this technology, Dom. You know, I only did my first one sort of last night, so.
I'm not used to all this technology like anyway.
I'm still getting used to it.
I'm more hands-on kind of guy.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah. We're getting there. I introduced my friend Josie to the Deadliest Men episode.
That's just nice to impress people with, ain't it? So, I'm just a nice kind of book guy, just a bit misunderstood. Well, that's all. I was a bit misunderstood.
Yeah, I mean, we just thought it was quite amusing watching Danny Dyer look over his shoulder every 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's all right, Danny, actually. Yeah. He's a nice bloke. You know, can have a bit of a laugh with him, yeah. So well, no problems there. Hope you've got some interesting questions
for
us tonight.
Well, I was just going to wing it, but yeah, I've got one or two. we'll try and sort of guide it on. I winged it last night, and it was it went on for about an hour and 20 minutes. So, we did all right. We'll just see how we go. I've got one or two questions that I'd quite like to ask. If anybody else has got any questions, we should have some time towards the end if people want to ask Dominic anything.
As long as it's nice.
As long as it's nice. I do put a parental guidance in here.
I'm not too worried about that, mate. I'll do my best on that one.
We are past the watershed, I believe, so we should be all right.
I said, thank fuck for that, then. Sorry about that, man. Right. I couldn't help it.
Bit of swearing never hurt anybody.
Well, it all depends who you're swearing at. So.
Oh, yeah. Right, I think.
Thanks, Steve, you slag.
There we go. Yeah, we've got a few people in there. So we'll give it a start. We've got 10 people in here. We'll give it a start, and we'll just see where it goes from there. So can you tell us, Dom, about, like, take it right back to the start and tell us about little Dom?
Little Dom? Oh, Dom, yes. Well, yeah, what I want to say, listen, just an average kid, you know, had good parents. You know, me and my brother, we were brought up in Woodford, good, you know what I mean, good surroundings, you know what I mean, nothing untoward, you know, and hated school. Oh my God, I hated school, but just wanted to get out. And Dad being old fashioned, it was very much, well, you leave school and you've got to, you know, get a job. So I left on the Thursday and started in the garage on the Monday, and basically just started my working life that way, you know, because I was never going to be a professor or a doctor, you know. I'll be honest with you, we had a really good upbringing, you know. We couldn't, you know, no complaints there, you know. Whatever happened in my life later on was solely down to me, because when you hear when people say, I put down to the parents, there's nothing to do with that. We were, you know, my mum and dad were cool, you know, and it's quite hard, really. I mean, Dad's been gone. Well, Dad would have been, in fact, Dad was 50 when he had me, and he would have been 100 this month, the 25th or the 26th of November would have been 100. He was 50 when he had me. And Dad's been gone, he's going to be on over 16 years now. And Mum's been gone 9 years. And but getting back to life, yeah, that was all cool, though. You know what I mean? It was a good upbringing. We just sort of, like, you know, left school, went to work, and like things are a lot different now. They are today, and there seems to be a lot more peer pressure out there on kids as such. But it was cool. We me and my brother were very lucky growing up in that department. You know, we got what we wanted. We didn't have a lot, but we got what we wanted. Well, got what we needed, I should say. And it was cool. It was cool. So yeah, I was a good boy when I was growing up, to be honest with you. I wasn't a little shit. I turned into a big shit, but not a little shit.
What about school, mate?
Right, Hated school. I was never one for school. I was always, I say, good with my hands, carpentry, always good with a chisel or spanner or an hammer. But, again, with school was cool, you know what I mean? Even though I hated it, certain aspects were cool, like all the woodwork stuff. There's only a couple of lessons I've liked. Then we got to a certain age where I just used to bunk off all the time. I used to go home with my, you know, when my dad was, because it'd be like my dad was very old-fashioned. It'd be like you know, if you're going to, you know, bunk off at school, they should know where you are. So you end up staying. You know, me and my mates used to go at my house, so at least my dad could keep an eye on us. And we weren't really getting up to nothing much, but we were never going to go to school. So what was the point? So, but yeah, you know, I couldn't wait to get out of school. And again, things are a little bit different then, weren't it? Where you could leave school and you can go and get a job, and it ain't like that now, is it? There ain't a lot out there for
No.
anybody now. So it's a bit of an hard one that. But it's, school's cool, but I just didn't like it. So I just wanted to get out and go to work, which is what I did. So
Did you suffer from bullying at school?
Yeah. I mean, if that's what we're looking at, yeah. I mean, I did a hate school, got picked on quite a bit, it's like funny the things you try and forget. It's really weird. It's like you bring things back there, don't you? Yeah, I hate school in that department, where you get picked on every day, and it just made you. That's why I didn't want to go to school in the end. And it's but the funny thing was, it's just funny when you left school that anybody was sort of like hung about with. We all become equals, you know what I'm saying? When you leave school, you all become the same. There isn't like he was the toughest kid in the school or whatever. That's what I found. Once we went to work, there was no, we're all the same kind of thing, and it's and that's I seem to I don't know, excel myself more when I left school than I ever did at school. But yeah, I hate it. Like I got bullied quite a bit at school, so that's why I don't really I try and teach my daughter that about the bullying side of things now, and how much it can affect people, and but it is what it is, and I'm afraid it's part and parcel of life, ain't it?
So once you left school, when how soon was it when you started seeing the sort of the naughtier side of life?
Well, no, listen, I started doing door work just after 18. I was nearly 19 when I started doing door work. I started going to the gyms then, and I knew, by the time I was 19, I knew, knew what I wanted to do. It was a bit weird. And then I started, as a 19, I ended up a friend of mine called Jim Hutton. We used to call him Mutton. And he got me working with a good bunch of guys for a company called Top Guard. And we, I was at nearly 19 then, and it's all of a sudden from 19, my life just changing, just completely changed. I mean, it was, I started doing the door work. Then I started really getting into the boxing. I mean, I was like chinning a few people there, and I go, listen, this interview we're doing today, I'm not trying to thinking about the violence, because that's one thing you'll start with. I don't really thingy come away from it so much now since my daughter's been born. But that was, listen, that's, I hate to say it, that's why I've got this reputation, ain't it? I always remember a good friend of mine, Danny. I remember once I said to him, it took me 30 years to get this reputation, it's going to take me another 30 years to lose it. And he went, yeah, but Dom, you're never going to lose it, because that's who you are now. And so sometimes, yeah, going, listen, I was 18, 19, and just things started changing then. Got into the boxing, started boxing on my first amateur fight. I was about 20, loved it, and then it just went full circle from there. So it was it was just different. And you start to see people differently then as well, and it's like, you can't kid a kidder. And it's a funny old world out there, and it's one thing you'll know about me. I'm quite a straightforward kind of guy. Putting it bluntly, and it is hard. It is hard, yeah. And it's again, everything stemmed from there. It's going from the door, the boxing took off, and then and then all of a sudden I wanted to turn pro, and did that, and then, but with boxing come everything else. There was always seemed to be like it was quite in hand. Like the violence. It was. I never ever had a problem with the violence. It's a shame because people. I mean, I get a lot of thingy for it now, what they call it. I suffer a lot from it now. It's not our, I was back then, I was just really lost. I was a kid that was lost. And turned out my biggest strength, well, my biggest weakness was my strength. And that probably still is a little bit today, really. I mean, it's like, I was 50 in July. I never thought I'd make the 50, never made a think I'd make the 40 or 30. But so I'm quite gifted there. And, it's just weird. Just, I'm very lucky. I'm sitting here now, we're having this conversation, and now I was 18 months ago. It was I was stuck in a bit of a hole. I had the new book come out. Oh, look what I've got here. Oh, look. Oh, Into the Light by Jamie
Nice.
Boyle. But and it came out like a year and a half ago. And by rights, we should have been on the crest of a wave. But I just had a few personal problems there, and. Not my own doing, again, not my own doing. I regret a lot of things gone on, and I'll try and put things right, but we'll see what happens down the road. But then I was training, I had a good little stable of fighters doing well, spending a lot of time in Spain, going all there. I'm not going to go too much in that because that's yesterday, that's done. I've gone full circle now, and it's like, but I put so much energy and time into other people. That's been my problem all my life. And then you look back to see who's there when the shit's the fan, and I've been really gifted. I've been very gifted who my friends are. I've had, I will mention quickly in case of an old fighter, an opponent of mine called Kevin Mitchell. I was having this really bad time again. It was a couple of Aprils ago, not last April, the April before. And I was just, come to the, I felt like I've just had enough. Just saying, I've just found something out, and it, and I did not. I was in pain. I was in a lot of pain, and all of a sudden, this text come through. I do not know why. I mean, me and Kevin, we boxed twice in the pros. He beat me once. I beat him a second time, and then the unlicensed, we boxed, and I beat him the third time. And then so you had the outlaw, which is Kevin Mitchell, and you had the Milky Bar Kid, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he sent me this text. And do you know what? In a way, it was, I don't know. It was just amazing how he came out of the blue, and we text. In fact, we text each other at least once a week. He's got a lovely family. He always asks about Bella, and he's. It was just funny who the friends were when I needed them, and this Kevin Mitchell come out of nowhere, and I'm truly blessed to call him a friend. I mean, we're gonna have this conversation. There's lots of good friends. I mean. I mean, I think I'm taking over a little bit here
That's
already,
fine, mate.
mate. But I did tell you, mate. Once I start, I won't stop. I'm gifted. I mean, I look back now. There was people I thought were my friends. I couldn't. I'm not gonna again. Not going into too much. So I remember banging on the door, knocking on someone's door, and perhaps I didn't realise I was in such a bad place. But I went there looking for help, and I didn't even get a. They didn't even open the door. I remember leaving a couple of. Messages on the phone, and I never do that. And I said, I really need to talk to her, and I got blanked, and I'll never forget it now. And it's like, and but from there, it just made me a stronger person because I can look back. I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I've got a friend, and I will say, man, if you ever get the name, these have been there, and I'm lucky. I've got my friend Emery. I've got my friend B. They're both Bella's godfathers, and they stuck by me through thick and thin. They really have, I've got, this isn't like the name dropping kind of show. I mean, there's friends out. I'm gonna, there's loads of people out there. I've got my mate Mike Jackson and his good lady. They've always helped me out. And just silly things like the phone calls, Joe Long, Paul Alderson. Now, if I don't mention everyone, they're gonna get the amp. But it's my mate Tank. Silly texts that really they don't realise they saved my life on the way out. Because when I've been, people see me and they say, oh, look at Dom. He's a good man. Like look at him. He's a nothing upsets him. Listen, I've got an heart. I mean, I've been in places I couldn't tell you. Listen, I'm not saying I'm through things yet. And I don't want to go too much about addictions, but because we both know that. Listen, I had a problem a little bit if I'm being honest with you. It's about like a drink because when I was boxing, it was boxing, boxing, boxing. So then also when I come out of it and I stopped it was like all of a sudden is. I've got nothing to do. And it's like all of a sudden you start realizing, oh yeah, I don't mind having a little drink now and again. And then it gets with me, see, what makes me a bad drinker, I'm a private drinker. See, I won't go if I go out, I can drink. I do drink, don't get me wrong, but I'd rather have a sparkling water and then I'm all right. But then if I go indoors, I can do a bottle of vodka, bang like that, boom, it's gone. And that's why I don't like being a private drinker is no good for you. Because I think that takes you down that slippery road there and it's that's when all the demons start placing. I've got some terrible demons, and it's I don't know. It's just weird. But again, by self-admission and again putting myself in a good place, being around good people is same me person than I used to be. I mean, it's like listen, I dare say we're going to talk a little bit about certain things in this night because everyone wants to know, don't they?
Definitely.
Everyone's like, oh, I knocked him out, or I did this and I did that. But that's not the person I am anymore. Don't get me wrong, it's still there. And if you push the right buttons, yes, it will come out. And occasionally it does, like it shows its ugly head occasionally. But then it's I've got it quite on lockdown now, and that's mostly through having my daughter, which she made me such a better man. I realise now, for every action comes a reaction, and me, yeah, I ain't going to prison. I don't want to go to prison, you know. And that's and that was this is by rights. I should be dead or in prison by now, and I've got no problems, you know. Obviously. You know, I had a bit of an altercation in the gym. Was that 15, 16 years ago? With something, everyone knows he's like a bit of an urban myth or legend or what you want. I always said it. I always said it, I deserved it. Whatever it's about, doesn't matter. Nobody doesn't matter, does it? But it was I deserved it. You can't do the things I was doing to people, and not to get expect to get reaction. And I become a bit of an arsehole to people. So I do look back. I become someone I quite despise. I become a bit of a bully. I could go in places, wouldn't push me weight around, didn't do this, didn't do that if I don't like it. You know, I could go in a nightclub with a pair of trainers on and a t-shirt on or whatever, and they wouldn't stop us. And I'm not, you know, so when I did have my little bit of a comeuppance, you know, you're always hear me say, I deserved it, you know, and then people go, oh, don't, how can you say that? I said, I did, you know, again, because, you know, I've become very lost from my true self, you know, it's like I was living a lie kind of thing. It's like, I learned this. Right, we're going to go back then. So when we start, obviously, start getting involved in doing debts and things like that. And then so there'd be times when you'd have to go out and do things I didn't really want to do. And the more I got involved, the more I come away from my true self. You know, there'd be, you know, and it's quite easy to get lost in that world because it's so full of false people. Egos and pride, they're the two biggest killers out there. And it's, you know, look at the stuff that's going on out there now. Like people get stabbed every day, and you know, kids are killing kids. It's a mad world. I've got a 16-year-old daughter that I worry every night what she gets up, not she gets up to, but I say to her, it's not you, it's never you. Well, it's not never you, but I'm not worried about you as per se, but I'm worried about people around you. And it's I'm afraid it's the world we're living in, and I can't see it getting any better either at the moment. So, you know, it's hard when you've got, I mean, you know, I've got this treasure that I just want to wrap up in cotton wool, and I don't want no one touching her. But listen, I know we're somewhere along the line, some arsehole's gonna come along and upset her. And you know, and it's funny when one better come along, it was like you start realizing, and you start winning pets for me. Perhaps being in, when I was in the relationships with people and whatever, perhaps, well, I look back now, perhaps, yeah, I was wrong because I wouldn't like perhaps someone to do to my daughter what I did to them. You know what I mean? It's growing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so it's not like, Bella says to me, Bella says to me, well, you know, what if I come back and, you know, with my boyfriend, I said, listen, don't upset me. I've just had my dinner. No. So, no, I said, listen, you're going to find someone that is going to love you half as much as I will and do as half as much as I can for you, then you're on a winner. You're on a winner. And it's just hard. It's like, you know, going this, you know, I mean, I've started work. We've been in a year now. My friend, give me a job, which was lovely. And again, he wouldn't have employed me there 15 years ago. I work in a hostel, and I'm the concierge, security concierge. We call ourselves concierges, and it's so humbling to be there because one of these people come to me and they're vexing out and they've got the arm and they're telling me, "You don't know what it's like to do. You don't know what's." And I'm going, "Are you having a laugh, mate? You can't tell me what it's like. I know what it's like to sleep in a park bench. I know what it's like to half get caught wearing drugs, drink, you know, being homeless for a while. I mean, I slept on the gym floor for a year and a half, you know, just because I was just trying to do the right thing in another situation. But again, all that's that me. That was no one else's fault. But it, I don't know. It's just hard, isn't it? I mean, this to me talking to you now, Jack, is a bit like confession time, isn't it? It's like I'm getting diluting the situation because as much as I've got older and wiser, it's still there. I mean, it burns up every day. Someone can upset me every day, and it's, I mean, people think you go up and, you know, back in the day it was like every, you know, someone say something, bump, shoot, bump, that's it, laughing a joke. That Dominic, oh, he's right. Oh, he's a. But it'd take me days to get over it. It would really affect me. Like, even now, if I'm around with someone, it can really affect me. It can take me a couple of days to get it out of my system because it ain't. Don't get that's what I'm saying. It's still there. Oh my God, it's still there. And it's, and it doesn't take a lot for me to kick in. But what it is, it's, I don't know. It's a bit weird sometimes. We try and, I don't know, we try and portray ourselves differently. The only thing I try and do, I try and treat people the way I want to be treated, right? And I always try and give people the benefit of the doubt because I've had it where people come up to me and go, I didn't think you were like this. I thought you. I said, but you don't know me. People don't know me, And it's I suppose I don't really know myself sometimes because I'm still finding out about myself every day. Every day is it's just like it's just really weird. It's this I've got this. Listen, is on again when the book come out, the last book, because obviously the other book come out of the shadows. All this, but this the new one into the now. But when the last book came out, we should have been flying. Jamie put a lot of time and effort into us. We've got this going on, that going on, this show to go on, that show to go on. And don't be wrong, as I know, the book did all right anyway. And that was without me even being honest, getting off my arse and doing anything. Because when I just hit this place, I don't know if you've heard it, I just turned the phones off, wanted to stay in bed. I come away from all the boxing. I was running the gym. My good friend Ian, he's still. Listen, you can't meet a nicer bloke than Ian Wilson, and he still runs the gym at Sparta 300 in Chingford. Obviously we shut down at the moment, but it was, I become really lost, and it was only down to the fact a good friend of mine called Butch, Butchie Goldhawk. He said, "Come on, Don, come and work with me." He said, "Come." He's a roofer, good top-notch roofer. I think they call them first fix or second fix roofers. I said, "All right, look, I'll do it." I didn't want to do it, and so I'm the only roofer there. I'm terrified of heights. You get honest, I'm like an old woman. You want to see me climbing up a ladder? I might jumping off of one, but climbing up one, But then we end up hooking up with his friends, Eric and was it Jason? Jay, yeah, Jay. And they do. They got a thing. This ain't advertising, but they got a company called Grand Loft Designs. And we and I worked for them for nearly 8 months all between us, and they really got me through it because there's times where I just wanted to stay in bed every day. I didn't want to get out of bed. All these things playing on my playing on, and I've got and all of a sudden, but every day, as much as it hurt, and I wouldn't say it was getting easier, but I thought it was getting a little bit stronger every day. Every day I was going forward. Every day just to get through it. I don't think talking that term about going to meetings and stuff. When you got like AA meetings or NA meetings, it's just for today. Let's get through today. Because you know what I'm saying? Because tomorrow's has already got its problems waiting for you out there. And again, this I was really lucky. The friends I'd around me, they were so positive. It's like I've got a pal of mine called a really, really close friend of mine called Mickey Theo. He's got a lot of stuff going on out there with certain heavyweights dead, with this John Fury thing. But couldn't meet a nicer guy. And every they'd phone up, "You all right, Dom? Everything's good?" And I said, "Yeah." And we powered through it. And it was like, and I go, my mate Bobby Wilcox. And they were just so good. They were so supportive. But then you look back and you think, I was 48 then. And you think you should have your shit together by then. But you can't do that. And then I start realizing as a man, we grew up in a different generation where you ain't supposed to be upset. We're men. We're like, "Oh, you can't cry." I miss my mum. I miss my mum terribly. If my mum was alive now, I'd probably be out in Italy with her. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we, you're white, William, there, mate. Tomorrow isn't necessary. We live for today, just for today. And it is hard. It is hard. But you think, because everyone's got a different outlook on you. They're looking at you like, they think again, keep saying this tough man. Yeah, okay, listen. So what? I could have a fight. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm only 50 years old. There's kids out there, 14 years old, just stab you. Wouldn't even look twice at you now, would they? And again, it's just different. It was like, just everything sort of like for years just spiraled out of control. And without being rude, though, it was my own doing. Because again, bullied at school, I got this reputation and I liked it because people feared me in a way. I don't, well, perhaps didn't even say feared me. I could walk in a pub, I could walk in a pub and people would look at me and go, "Oh, he's in, he, oh, Negus is in," and they'd all quiet down. But then when I've got my in it back to your face, I'm going, "Oh, Dom, you're a good man. You are, oh, we like you, Negus. We're gonna get him a drink. Get him a drink. You're good stuff." And I go, "Yeah, okay." But obviously, when I got when I had my little bit of a, bit of a taster, they were going behind my back. Yeah, he deserved that. He deserved that. Yeah, but again, not a problem. Not a problem because, the people that were saying it, they, they'd say it behind your back, wouldn't they? Because I never had the bollocks to say it in my face today. So, but it was, it was a funny old time. And it's, I don't know. I feel like I don't know. So I feel like a butterfly, far from it, because I don't know. I must be the ugliest butterfly out there. But I just feel like for years I was in this chrysalis for about 20 years, and even now, since my daughter's come along, I'm still coming out of this chrysalis because there's different things out there for me now. It's like again, when I was training the boys, I mean, we were lucky. We had a couple of good fighters, and they would do really well. And just I was running fight, say like trying to do it my way, because if you muck it up, then you can always blame me. You do it your way, and it's and in the end, they did it their way. They mucked it up. I stepped away, and with me, it was never about the money with the boxing because I was earning good money. There was a couple. I'm not going to go into all that. But it was like the fact is now I work hard now. Again, I'm very lucky. I've got a lovely place out in the country. I've got me nut down. And it's I've got my lovely daughter. I'm friends, with my, really close friends with my daughter's mum, which is, listen, she, she's probably one of the only people I really do trust. There's a couple out there. I'm gifted like that. Okay, and it's this loyalty thing's paid off dividends. Again, and one thing is they are watching my friend Emery, and Bryn. Without them, I wouldn't be here today because they see something in me that I couldn't see. And the loyalty thing, again, it's, I feel gifted there, and it's, they're my family. They're the ones that stuck, but they're the ones that really stuck by me when the shit did it the fan. They were there for me, and it's, I'll never forget that. And I'm very, appreciate everything. I'll never take my friendship with my friends for granted because, one thing you'll know about me, and I think you've probably already done, I'm probably the loyalest person you'll ever meet. There's loyalty, like, it's done a lot of that about
No, there
anyone.
isn't.
So, don't, anyway, back over to you, Jack, after your
Well,
first question.
I want to just make people aware for people that might not know about the event, about what happened to you. If we could just go a bit more into that, and the acting,
What's
the
that?
axe in
What
the head.
the yeah, listen, yeah. I walked in the gym one night, getting changed, three geezers come in, axe, bat and a gun. One decided to try and give me a decent haircut in the back of the nut. End up getting 70 odd stitches, a fractured skull, bit of a headache. Again, it was like, listen, I upset the wrong people, got a bit big for my boots, and I paid the price. And again, deserved, deserved, right. We don't know what it's about or whatever. That's done. It's that's like 17 years ago. It's 17 years ago, and I remember it once. Don't get me wrong, I get in the tree sometimes, and I'll stand and I think, hold on, this could happen again. Do I? If don't get me wrong, you realise as you get older, there's certain things are worth it. Like my daughter. Now we're talking. I don't give a fuck. Anybody goes near my daughter, I'll die for my girl. Because she's made me this person I am today. She's made me a person. I can walk into places where I used to go, and people are actually pleased to see me, because, she's brought this completely different persona out in me. Listen, what I want to do, I just want to be loved, and
Tell
that's
me
all I
everyone.
want. I just want to be wanted. I want to be feel like I'm part of something. See, it's hard sometimes when I'm on my own. I've been on my own for the last few years, and it's hard because. So when I'm with Bella, I'm fantastic. When I'm not with her, I'm probably the loneliest bloke you'll ever meet. That's why, you again, you have to put yourselves in the right places with the right people. But again, yeah, listen, it's just upset. What was it? I can't remember. Was it a it's a Tuesday night. Still, I can still remember certain things. And yeah, I come in and they got the better of me a little bit, and I jumped up and got the ump. And but listen, I'm just saying it's that's then that. But I have to remember it sometimes when I get out of my tree. I still jump out of my pram. Someone chuck me toys out of the
Another.
pram, and you have to think: is it? Yeah, but is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because I know what but also I know what I've done to other people when I've got the hump, and also I know what it's like to have it done to myself. And it's like if you're willing to, put up with that, then it's all well and good. But then sometimes it isn't. It isn't really how life should be, is it? I mean, it's like. My dad was the straightest geezer you'd ever meet. Worked on the Tynes for 37 years. Never ever once had problems with the police. Didn't he'd done his time. He went to work and he paid the bills. And it was, I think that's how dad should be, shouldn't it? It's hard being a father to my daughter sometimes. Because one thing I always tell Bella, one thing I always tell her the truth. She asks me questions sometimes. She ain't silly. She hears things, and obviously books come out. And when they write books, she read some of the book. Oh, Dad, you take drugs, and I said, yeah, but you try and guide them, don't you? All I'm just trying to do is guide my daughter. Like, you can't. I'm not going to sit there and tell my daughter, like, no, I never done this, or I never done that, or never, And it's nice to, what I'm just saying is, like, when I'm with her, she's not my best mate. She's not my best mate, and it's, she's a cool kid, and considering she's come from two nutters, because my woman's just. Probably just as mad as I was. That's where the clash was. It's all about being honest with each other. And if we look at, and perhaps I'm too honest, but we're just so alike. And all of a sudden we've got this beautiful, beautiful girl. As I know, perhaps the picture doesn't do her much justice in the picture there. But if I've actually got the picture, and it's quite realistic, mind you, look at me. It looks like I've just done a bank robbery and I've got stocking on my head. So, oh, it looks a bit like you. Look at Oh, don't. Yeah, I mean, she gets embarrassed sometimes because I'll take her. She comes everywhere with me. If I can't, I mean, she's 16 now, but if I can't take her somewhere or something, then we don't
Same
go.
there.
And that's that. And it's, yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better kid. She's got great manners. Thank God she's looking like she's got her mum's looks. I mean, bloody hell, I've got a face mate with a radio, ain't I? You know what I mean? I said, when I was a baby, they'd go down the road and they'd go, "Cool, that's a lovely pram you got there." Oh, I don't know, but no, it's all cool. It's all cool. We're, going from where I'm coming. So, what your notes with me when we start talking about things from one story go 10 others. All like it's like trees, but it's like again from where I was 18 months ago to now, and a lot of it's down to my daughter. She pulled us through, even though she didn't see that side of things. She's, I'm very grateful to have her in my life. So, and it is. It's like funny as you get older. Somebody just said it's about mellowing out with age. He said, Yeah, I've mellowed out. I've mellowed out. Don't get me wrong, certain things fire me up, but I just again realize that for every situation, again, keep saying every action comes a reaction. And do I want the reaction? So it's got to be worth it. So, but it's, it is what it is, though, Jack. So it's, we were talking the other day about you found out one who your real fighter, like your friends are out there. When they tell you things, oh yeah, I'll do that. I'll help you with this. And then when you phone them up, says, "Oh, do me a favour, could you help me out for a couple of weeks or do it?" And they go, "Oh, do you know what? Oh, do you know what? The amount of times I've had it, again, he goes without saying the amount of times." And everybody just looks at you. And the man, I still get phone calls now. I might not have heard from someone for ages. And the first thing they phone up goes, "Oh, so and so, help me out." I go, "No, mate, don't want to do me anymore." Because also I know with me, it only takes one thing and then bang, I'm back in the middle of everything. And it's not where I want to be anymore, It's like I want to go to sleep and not have to worry. Well, who's knocking at my door?
Exactly.
But no one's going to knock at my door.
Exactly.
Unless you're the milkman. So milkman coming for your money, so.
The milkman even exist anymore?
No, not really, not really. No, we don't. We have Gold Top, mate, with Flash. No, I wish I was. My neighbour does because I nick
Yeah,
his
he's
milk.
nicked the red top.
Yeah, but well, I don't have that red top
So,
now. But no, nothing but go on.
I was just gonna like giant round back off a bit that so you were you'd left school and you got into work, you were boxing and doing the crime at the same time, is that right?
A little bit
because enforcing and stuff like that.
What they call it, enforcing, yeah, whatever. I mean, listen, there's probably a lot of other tougher people out me than me out there, maybe. But it was but once you start doing the door work with the boxing, it also like coming hand in hand. It's like, well, someone knows someone, or do you know someone, or you know, and it was all like that. It was again, it was all kind of word of mouth, and then you know, before you know it, I mean. It was a funny old life, to be honest with you. Like that, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know what you want to say about it. I mean, it's, you know, my daughter once said, "Do you regret some of the things you've done?" I said, "Well, yeah, of course I do. But then, again, if I didn't do the things I've done, you wouldn't be here today, would you? So we have to, you know, you have to take the rough with the smooth sometimes. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't. You know, I was a car spyer by trade, and I still love cars, and they like painting cars, and, you know, and perhaps I should have stayed at that. I mean, but then with the boxing, you know, I should have concentrated on that, and I took what I did. I'm very lucky. I've got, again, like people like Steve Bunce, Colin Hart, I know them. I've been doing the security of boxing since I was 19, 1989. One of the biggest shows I think I started working on was when George Foreman came over and boxed Terry Anderson at the London Arena. I think that was the first show I did, and I've been in the boxing ever since. So when I walked away from boxing as per se, like 18 months ago, when I finished with the boys as such, training them, it was hard for me, really, because that's all I'd ever known. That's all I'd ever do was with boxing for years, being in the gym since I was 20. You know, you work it out, that's 28 years, from 20 to 48, that's 28 years. It's all I've ever done, like being a personal trainer, like training pro fighters. You know, we had a stint in Spain for nearly 2 years, 18 months, that was great. I had some boys, you know, we were lucky. When we went away, like, we had a kid boxing in Spain, he got the win. We had Sanjay Sahota, a good kid, still pals to this day. He's out in Spain. We went to New Delhi, first time they had boxing in New Delhi, we got the win out there. And it was like, so I've been quite fortunate with the boxing. I've been, well, so around the world, but I've been, you know, I've known enough people. So it's, you know, I don't know, it's just, it's quite, what do they call it? Again, humbling that, you know, all the people I know now, most of my close friends are all to do with boxing, you know, and it's, you know, because, you know, I was a bit thingy about a lot, likes of like Ricky Hatton again. Things like that, all the people, you know, I remember walking them into the ring, you know, and then from then we all become friends. It's like, again, it's mentioned before, Mike Jackson, what a great smashing fellow he is, him and his wife, brilliant. And they seem to be friends for life because they phone you to see how you are, not for what you can do, because I can't do nothing for them. What can I do for them? Not, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm about to take the dog for a walk or clean the car, but, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, they're my real friends, you know, and it's a lot of my friends are the people I've been around, or, you know what I mean, have been here since, you know, for the last 20, 25 years. My circle is still very, very small now. It's a really small circle now, and it is, but they're still friends. Again, Henry, my mate Henry, I've known him for, I was 24, so it's 26 years. My mate B, I've known him 25 years. And again, these are the people I call them. They're my family, and they're the ones that, again, you know, they're Bella's godfathers. So in that department, I'm truly blessed, ain't I? So, I mean, it's like, you talk about strengths. People say, oh, you're strong. I've got a friend of mine, Lyle, Ginger Lyle, his little boy, Connor. He's quite sad, really. When he was born, I think, with bits and bobs on the outside. You know what I mean? So this little kid, he went to hospital, like he was in, what's the kiddies hospital in London? I can't remember.
Chelsea?
It's a really famous kid's hospital. No, I can't remember the bloody name.
Gun.
You know what I mean? But yeah. Something like that. It come in. And I see this little boy, he just put up with all this stuff growing up, and he's only, I think he's about two or three now. And you see him now, and that to me, that's strength. It puts, you know, you could be in a ring sparring people, knocking people out, but you see this little kid, big bundle of joy, bundle of mischief, you know. And that, to me, I've got to look at that. That's kind of things that make me in awe. Do you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, they don't care what, you know, 50-year-old, what, I'm still knocking people out. Was that any good? But you get a little kid that he don't know what he ain't done no harm to no one, has he? And this little kid is just a little fireball. You know, I haven't seen him for ages, and they come to my birthday party, and it's just this little kid is just laughing and joking. And you think, bloody hell, you
That's a
know,
great
it's
omen.
Great Ormond Street there. Yeah, that's a nice one, Freddie. You got that one in there, mate. You need to get something in your mug. But you know, that was my brother, by the way. So, but yeah, no, it's all cool. It's all cool. So, but you know,
So,
anyway, come next Monday. Come on.
so your professional boxing, 2002, you're in a fight with Audley Harrison.
Come on. Am I?
You
Yeah,
planned on not on
little
him.
bit,
I
little
mean,
bit.
what was going through your mind?
Knock his teeth out, but nah, listen, he just that, can I be honest with you, that's one of the things I regret a little bit, because that's probably one of the only things, or there's another thing, but I'd like to not put right, but I'd love to sit down with him and have a cup of coffee or something like that, because that was, I mean, listen, it was a great night for me, even though I lost. I mean, I think I've got so much publicity out of it, you know, knowing about doing this and doing that, and you know, with us, and it was like, you know, again, I was in too involved with other things. But listen, I truly thought I could beat him. But you didn't, I didn't realize how big he was. Oh my God, that's a big guy, you know what I mean? And also, like, you know, people, it makes me laugh. It's like people going, oh, Audley Harrison, he's rubbish, I'd knock him out. No, these people ain't even had a fight. And then I go, yeah, all right, mate, go and have your Weetabix, you know, that's just idiots. The people that talk shit. Because you don't get a gold medal in the Olympics for nothing, you know. And what I found with him, he was very quick. He had really quick hands for a big, and I've got quick hands. And then, and his footwork was great. His foot, and I, you know, don't, I'll never box that many southpaws. And normally, if I did, I could back you to the ropes and just go to work. But he was where he was more skilled. Also, I just remember all the way through. Well, I remember through the second round. That's when he hit me with a lovely shot. He was like the teeth out advert. I've gone like on the front of shot. Mine just went backwards like a bong. And I can remember looking up at the lights, and well, bloody hell, light, and all of a sudden, and I remember the next day we went down the pub, and my mate said, "Where these I got these sunglasses for?" I bought them as a present. I put them on my. They only went halfway down because my nose was so swollen. It was like, honestly, these glasses only went there like that. But yeah, going with the old Harrison thing, it was like, you know, you got to watch the fight, you know, and this you know, he half pushed shoves me through the ropes. If you watch, I throw a right hand. I can still watch. So I don't really watch the fights anymore. You know, I was getting tired, going because I was carrying that bit of extra weight, and that's through other things again. So I throw the right hander. He half parries it. If you watch it, he's half parrying. I was a white because I was a bit tired because I sort of like go over. It wasn't hurt because if you watch, he takes about 2 steps that way, and then walks back and hits me as hard as he can. Because if I was her, I wouldn't be getting up from that, would I? But that showed without no disrespect to her. Audley, he weren't really a puncher anyway. He's, you know, for a big guy, don't you know, you're going to be able to whack a bit. But yeah, and it, you know, it threw me. You know, it threw me off. You know, it threw me off a little bit. And that's when all of a sudden he hits me, and as I get back up, he sort of like laughed. And that's when I jumped, and that's about the gums and that. And that's if you know, other than my nose, I had not. I think it was a bruise on my head. That's why I knocked him on the chin, and it just went a bit funny. And listen. The referee was great that night because he could have disqualified me, but I think he realised there would have been an utter riot. There were, you know, the amount of police that were there. The amount, I mean, I sold so many tickets, it was unbelievable. But again, it's an old, you know, very thing in the Batman Man on the night. He was, you know, very skillful, and you know, at least I can say I got him with an Olympic champion. But what you don't realise is that me and my dad. Dad wasn't well then, but I mean, it was all right. I mean, they brought him down in a wheelchair, and we went to see him afterwards. And I remember Phil Torrance, his trainer, great American trainer, him. And then we knocked on the door. So we're going now. Can we, you know, say, you know, look, the fight's over. It's over. I don't care. You know, go down, you know, we have a beer or whatever. We'll have people put a drink of champagne, old Champagne Charlie. Me, I was quite happy having a pint of Peroni. But you know, so we knocked on the door and we said, I'm going to go and try to see the champ. And went, no, they don't want to talk to you. And I had my dad down in the wheelchair because, you know, my dad made the Olympic champion, didn't I? And he was like, just mugged us off. And I'll never forget that. And but, does he realise? No, not really. Does he care? Probably doesn't give a toss, does he? But I mean, that's always stayed with me. That's one of the things I'd like to say. Why'd you do that? He was done. He was just, You know what it was? I showed people how to beat him. Two, I'd give him a harder time than he thought. Three, he just, that did upset me a little bit. But then, listen, and that was basically the end of my boxing, pro boxing career, because if we're being honest, then, I tested positive for steroids, apparently. So I don't know what that's about. It must have been in my milkshake or something, But
Supplements.
anyway, then, and then, yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. But listen, again, I got suspended. Me being as militant as I was, my friend said, "Look, let's go down to Wales. Let's go and front this out. You pay your price." And I was wrong. And if you in the first book, I've even one of the chapters there is called cheat, because even if I did win the fight, I would have cheated. It would never felt good. And then it was like, I don't know, just everything changed. Then it's in. From then, it's sort of like when I went on, then I went on the unlicensed, and that was great for me. I mean, it's not because you have all these, don't get me wrong, there's a good few fighters, some good lads on there. There's Mark Potter, when he finished his pro career, he came onto there. There's some good fighters on the, I mean, I was very lucky. I'm very, very close. So I've got some good friends like Stacey Dunn. He was a good pro. We were supposed to fight, but it never happened. But I'm glad it didn't, because we were pals. I've got a really, really close friend, my mate Jason Guyver. I don't see him very often, but he's one of them, that's when you're proper friends. You don't have to see each other very often. But he's Jason does well. He's getting involved. He's got a nightclub opening up, so called The Playhouse. Used to be the 195 with Scott Cummins. Be opening soon. We'll be there, mate. We'll be there to support you, Jace. But again, it's a really weird kind of world, because a boxing fraternity, if you're a liar, you get found out. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's one thing about me. I don't have to lie. Not there. I mean, not saying. I was fortunate enough. I was sparred with loads of world champions and things like that. And all I did was, if I'm being honest with you, what's he? Who was it? Was it Buncey said it, or was it Colin Hart? I took my eye off the prize, and I was getting too involved in other stuff. And it's, and again, that's why I got my ass smacked, didn't it? I mean, I should have been a, I should have been concentrating on the boxing, because if I did, we had the big house, the cars, and stuff like that. But in fact, I've had to go, in some ways, again, it's humbling, because I've gone back to work. I work really hard now. I work two jobs, which is great, and I get paid good money, and it's good for me, and it's very good for me. So it's, we used to do all the security all around the world with all the boys from, man security. We had some laughs. We've done all them festivals, VFA, maybe festival. It's funny, and it's not being disrespectful to anybody, and please don't. It's when you see the boys that when they're coming out, like they're bringing fighters out and all on the telly, like, look at me. We were doing that. I was doing that job 1989, not 1990. It's all that, you know what I mean? It's like, and I think some people forget that when they're bringing these fighters out, you should always be the, as a security man, you're the man behind the man. That's the man walking. That's always, I remember saying it to people. We go, "Oh yeah, I'll walk you out to the ring." I said, "Yeah, but you're the man behind the man." And I was fortunate enough to be both sides. Do you know what I'm saying? I was the security, and I was actually the man that was walking into the ring. And it's, it ain't a bad feeling, to be honest with you. Especially, I mean, again, Wembley Arena, when it was quite cool. We that place was sold out. And I always remember my trainer. We stood there, we walked out, and the place went mad. And my trainer went, "Dom, they're all for you." And honestly, I stood up, went like that, and the place went mental. Honestly, it was like so mad. I've never had nothing like that before or after. So, really, it was quite, I was a bit, I disappointed myself with the boxing, because there was so much more I should have done. But it was down to me. But then it's, that's the price I have to pay for that every day, that one. But it's cool. It's cool. So, but. We live and we
Yeah,
learn,
we
don't we?
do. We do. I think that I mean, like you were saying earlier on about your daughter being sort of that karma. When I had my daughter, that was it for me as well. She was my little crutch, my little mate. So I can really sort of feel that empathy there, because I mean, my daughter's 13, and I'd die for it, I know that, but
Well, exactly. But that's what it's all about. I think it just makes you appreciate life more, doesn't it? It's like, I've done some, I've done some mad things, crazy things, things that you probably wouldn't even bother about. Well, when you say to people, you try and explain to them certain things, and they go, "Well, I've never lived your life." Well, some people don't want even want to know about your life. They're too busy to. But I've done, I've been quite lucky. I've been all around the world. I've done things I wouldn't even talk about anymore. But inside, and I look back, I thought, well, at least when I've done something, when I die, you won't be able to call me boring. I mean, that's in my life. That's what I just try and say to my daughter. You can go and do whatever you want to do. If you even, was it that Will Smith film, was it called In the Search of Happiness or something like that? When he says to his son, "You can do whatever you want to do, even if I tell you you can't do it. You can, as long as you put your mind to it." Got to give these things, and I say to my daughter now, we're talking about leaving school, and all I worry about is I want her to earn a decent money, good job, things like that. And the way I look at it is, like, well, I'm 50 now, she's 16. Another say, by the time she's 32 and I'm 66, and if I go by then, but she set herself up, then I'll be happy. As long as she knows what she's doing by then, that's all I can ever. All I want Bella ever do is have a happy life. I don't listen. She ain't gonna go through the shit I've gone through because she ain't gonna be involved with the things I was involved in. But then also, I want her not to worry about nothing. It's the amount of shit I worry about now. That ain't even you people. Well, what do you worry about that for? That's nothing. And it's so true. It's so true. The amount of time I waste worrying about things that ain't even. Well, I blame her, to be honest with you. I said, because before you come along, I was so selfish because I didn't give a toss about no one. So now all of a sudden, I worry about, like phone bills being paid, this being paid, that being paid. And it's normally always down the money line that you worry about things. But, it is what it is. And so, but every day's, you just got to try and listen. When I say today, you've got to enjoy today because tomorrow's not, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? So, but, it's been a good, so far it's been all right. So kind of still have my ups and downs, but it's a lot better than it used to be. So what we can say to
So what's your
that?
biggest regret?
Well, probably my biggest regret really is not as such, is probably not concentrating or, with the boxing as such. I mean, it was like I just used to love the fighting, and I just had to be. I said that'd be very bloody good at it, I mean, I was into everything, any contact sport. I used to love it. And it was like just at the end, like some of the Ollie Harrison fight come up and obviously getting the ban and I mean I'm not just saying this and people don't take it the wrong way. The few fights I lost, I'm not just saying that I lost because I wasn't focused enough. There's other things. I could come in one night and I'd be training. I just love training. It was about training. Training, tickets, weight, date, who am I fighting? That's all it was. You'd see me when I was at the fight, I'd have a carton of rice with me all the time, eating that, watching my weight, selling tickets. And then sort of like, then I got involved with other things and all of a sudden I was, I was coming back home late, doing this, doing that. Then I was doing the nightclubs, working at the nightclubs, and then obviously other things happen at nightclubs. There was girls, and not such with the booze and the drugs. Because when I was pro, I didn't. I was so teetotal. I could go. I still love going out with my mates, but they'd be doing whatever, and I'd still, I'd be quite happy in the corner of the Red Bull, But it was, but then there was times I should have been more focused on certain things, and I wasn't. I was too busy trying to get this reputation, and I'm afraid I got it, didn't I? So did I get it? So that's my one regret. I should have just focused on what I was really good at. But then again, if things didn't happen the way they did, then perhaps I wouldn't be here now, would I? So we've got to take, certain things, things happen for reasons, don't they?
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
It is what it is.
I've noticed there's a bit of feedback,
man, again.
I think these pods are gone dead now. So I don't think they're working now, mate.
All right.
I'll try plugging mine in.
Right, is that any better?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I'm getting still.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I'm getting still
it's
getting a bit of feedback.
Gonna have to
it's just the one you're going to have to put up with.
Here's what it is, mate.
I think we'll just crack on. I do apologise to the people that are watching. Don't know what's happened.
So what's next for you, mate?
Well, we're looking to relaunch the book again. Like, obviously, well, not so much relaunch the book, but into the light, because we're
we seem to have frozen there. I'll give it a couple of seconds and then try and get Dom back. It seems to have lost connection. So I do apologise for that. We'll do our best to get him back. And then we'll see about inviting him back in again. And there we go.
There we go. You can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You froze for a bit.
Yeah. But no, just saying it's like what's next to me, it's because it's like really weird. You texting me saying about doing this casting, because I haven't done an interview for about a year and a half. And then since getting off the phone to you, I've spoke to Coogan. Obviously, Jamie Boyle's getting us involved. I can't remember the fella's name. Atwell, I think his name was. There's a couple of other names, English. Sorry, not being rude. I just remember the surname, that's all. And it's like, you've got to try and get back on the pedestal a little bit there and hopefully pick a bit of momentum up and look at it. It's my fault, no one else's fault. I just had a lot of things like jump up on me, and I did a typical evening situation when I stuck my head in the sand and I didn't want to know. It was like, not basically piss off and leave me alone, basically. Like, I think we all do that sometimes, don't we?
I think when you've got a strong mind, you know, it's difficult to quiet it sometimes. And we get stubborn.
I get stubborn to the point where stubborn like is silly, because it's doing no good for anybody. And family as well. It's like obviously it's a result, most big argument, like they might go and stay around
their house,
but
you know,
and that'd be it. So,
we have
to come back and start
again, don't we? Unless the stubbornness for you, I'm afraid. Yeah. Sorry, this is pulling up a little bit. We're just going to try and push it all the way through it. Is there another book in the pipeline then, or?
I'm speaking to Jamie, but what I'd love to do a book where I get other people's opinions about me. Not always good, don't have to be good, not saying that, but being honest opinions, but they're not all war stories, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what I'm, if you notice, that's why I'll try to keep off the violence tonight, because it's, there's a little bit more to me than violence, isn't there? I'll tell you a million stories about me going in the bar, not that good, right? Yeah, knocked him out, he looks at me, trying, I knocked him out. There's a little bit, I know people probably get bored with it, but it's like, yeah, you're bored with it, by the book, there's plenty of violence in there, but it's, I'm hoping to do a book, I'll speak to my daughter about it, like just me and her do it. We go around and get some stories off of other people and where they think, what they think, and then the stories they've got about me, and good or bad. Because, it's obviously, I remember we were training someone for a fight, and my parents had put this thing up on their things, and Big Dom's gym. And someone put something on there, and it was very, negative. It was like, he got done by so-and-so, so-and-so's firm done him. And it's quite, and my mate got the right arm. I said, but what are you getting up for? I said, because it's true. I've got no problem with people. If I've done something, then I can go, well, yeah, I can't remember. I remember a cab driver putting a thing up once. I was a bit rude to something that happened, and it's like amazing. I can remember, I knew exactly who it was and exactly what it was about. And when my mate said to me, he's gone, well, he's out of all this, I said, but it happened, mate. He's got no problem with that. What am I going to see him so it didn't happen? Or, you know, oh, I wasn't like that, because I was. I'd become a bit of an arsehole. And it was the fact that, you know, you couldn't talk to me back then. I was so focused back to doing things my own way. But then again, same with Bella come along and it just changed. And, you know, it's like fun. I could go out in the garden and smell the grass and see the sunshine and feel the rain and see the clouds. But it is very true, though. It's, you know, even when I started going back to work, I was very lucky. I've worked with loads of good companies, like Back in the Top Guard. I worked with Steve Ed from Headline, that was a good company. And I worked with Ian McAllister from Birmingham Man Security, great, great company. You know, and I was very fortunate. You know, I went everywhere. I've been all around. I always do the boxing, get on a plane, we fly air, fly an air, fly. You know, every weekend I'd be flying somewhere, and it was great, you know. But in some ways, you know, you have enough of it, don't you? It's what they say, well, you can't have enough of a good thing, but you can sometimes. You know, I've spent a lot of time away from my family, and I think that played a big part in whatever happened between me and Nick. But but they're going, that's that, and, you know, this is Maryland, isn't it? So we've just got to try and make the best of a bad situation in some ways. But, yeah, we're looking to get back. Yeah, looking to do another book, hopefully. You never know. But some, you know, someone might pick up on the... could be a documentary there. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've got a really good pal, my pal called Terry Stone, and they're just making a film at the moment called Rise of the Foot Soldiers, I think, 5. Good pal of mine is Terry's friend, Terry Hill. Thanks, Terry, for the boss T-shirt he got me for my birthday. Like Terry Hill is a good man, and they're doing this film, and Nick Nevin is producing it. So good faith, is, you know, it's going to be a good film, and out of all them lot, and I was quite fortunate, and I didn't know I'm done well, you know, I wouldn't say like, well, you know, everyone jumps in the bad rag and better written in three. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet Tony. He was all right, and of course, you know, I think I met Matt Tatey a couple of times, and didn't really know the other geezer. But just saying, you know, if I could, you know, they might be able to speak to some of them boys, and might put us in the right line. You never know, could be something there, you know. But just, I'm not, it's not over yet, though, is it? So how do I end the ride? You know, when it, you know, this guy on some nights, you know, I don't want to get shot in the back of a fucking Range Rover. It's all of them. I used to have a smart car. That's all I'm. Smart car, but no, it's again, it's like, well, good luck to them. But to say, no, the production that films in Southend at the moment, they're working so hard. I mean, I watched the United's Instagram thing, and I think it's going to be the best one so far. I mean, you've got a good cast in there, so it'll be a beauty as it comes out. But again, I was talking to Jamie today, he's put us in the right direction, could release a documentary or something. But that's when we have to go back a little bit and be a bit more honest about certain things that have gone on. Like, you know, if I'm, you're probably, you know, I'll be having a good talk tonight, and you probably, we ain't got a word in edgeways, but what it is, I'm trying to go around the violence, you know what I'm saying? I'm fed up talking about violence, because, you know, I'm 50 years old now, I've had my fair share, my hands will definitely not be doing washing up with adverts, you know what I mean? Like, the state of my hands, and it's like, you know, I said earlier, I've got face makeup radio, so it's, I don't know, it's just want to try and, you know, it'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to have an happy ending somewhere. You know, if people say, "Well, what do you get?" You know, only so I can say, "Well, I want, you know, I'm going to beat you all. I want to be as happy." That's what I want now. You know, I've done it. You know, I think it does. I've got to talk to them and make beat a day actually. And they said, like, your bucket list. What's on your bucket list? What have you got on your bucket list, Jack? He said, "What do you want to do, mate, before you go? Do you know what you want to do before you go, Jack? Anything?"
I don't know. I mean, I'm a writer, so probably just create things that people connect with.
I mean, for me, I want to see things. I want to go Australia. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to, you know, because it seems every day, you know, like time's ticking away, ain't it? It's like, you know, I've never been one of the people that have been, listen, I'm very lucky in some ways. You know, I remember Ed Robinson, who works for Sky, don't know his name, but he's a good commentator, he's good at fighting. He said to me, when I thought, he said, I'm not written about it. Any people do you know have had a book written about it? Now I've got two. I know people think they're silly documentaries. I've been in half a dozen documentaries. And I'm thinking, well, for somebody that's going to be a no-mark, is it right? I think I've done the right in ways. They're not perhaps books that certain people want to read. But I'll tell you something, 99% of my books are the truth. You know, if you want me, I'll tell you a load of my bollocks if I want it. I need to be found. I've got my machine gun out, didn't I? I killed 20 people there. But no, because, you know, you know, liars ain't worth a wink, are they? You know, because, you know, you're only lying to yourself. You know, and it's just a different, it's a different world I live in now. You know, I go to work every day, I'm quite happy, and that's since the last year or so, since I was a kid, this last year and a half is the first time I go to work every day. I've got like a bit of structure where I go to work, and it's great, you know. I ain't got to worry about it. I get paid every week. You know, going with the boxing, it's always worrying about sponsors. I mean, we were so gifted. We had two fellas. We had Peter Fares and Albie Turner. Albie Turner's a great accountant. Peter Fares got a great little mic club called The Vault. They were sponsoring us. We were doing so well, you know what I mean? It was like money. I'm not saying money was never a problem, but, you know, when I was training the boys, you didn't have to worry because I knew every month we sponsorship money there, and we always... The deal I had with my boys, we split the sponsorship money 50-50. Because I go and get the sponsors, and they did, and it was great, worked out great. So I could do all the training we wanted to do. I mean, we were so lucky. I mean, one week of the month ago, Ricky Atten's been great. Again, mentioned before, Mike Jackson's here, my family, brilliant. Sparring was great. Then another week we go to Khan, Amir Khan's thing in Bolton, with Joe Gallagher. Maybe it's fine with little Paul Butler and Mr. Butler, his dad. I've become really close to him. I've got to say, Joe Gallagher's probably one of the best trainers I've ever seen. He's a bit like Marmite for some people. You either like him or you don't. I mean, then we come down here, we'll be mingling with the likes of Alan Smith and Mark Tibbs and Jimmy Tibbs, his son. All these different trainers. And it was like we were living the dream, you know. It was, for me as a trainer, I mean, I was never, you know, I'd never say I was a good trainer. I was willing to learn. See, that's how I wanted to go. I was like, I'll go and pick everybody's brains. I mean, I like that. Well, don't like that. We keep to that. You know, we go like the track stuff we do in the morning. It was amazing. I'll tell you one thing. There's this. Track my morning. And I've got this boy Jones Jr., Sanjay Sahota. I can't think. I think Hamza Shiraz was there. I can't remember. I think there's about four or five of them there. Anyway, so next week, big group of fellas turn up. I'm looking over there, I thought, I recognise that there, you know. And boys, we've got the track, doing this track session, so we're all into everything they've been on track, written in the book, and they all went down, seconds, rest, this and that. You know, this guy, big black geezer comes over, American. How long have you got, mate? I said, what do you mean, how long have I got? He goes, how long, because you want to use the track? I said, well, you've got to wait, mate. Well, you can join in and use the track, because it's an open track, anybody can use it. He goes, well, you want to use the track? I said, I'm not being rude, I don't give a fuck. I said, I'll pay my money. You know, it's only Floyd Mayweather with Deonta Davis waiting to use the track. And that Deonta Davis, what a lovely fella. But that Floyd was really funny. And I said, bro, come over. I'm running people, you know, you could, I don't know. I could be quite nonchalant sometimes. I don't know exactly what I was doing. And the boys go, oh, Floyd Mayweather. I said, don't worry about that. Do your warm down. You know, someone of the lads want to have a picture with him without asking. He went mad. He's going, well, you didn't even ask. You didn't. I said, mate, don't be like that. You know, and it was just funny because he got funny with us because then when we said they won the same bill, because I think it was when he boxed, I think it was that Giovanni Davis boxed one of the Walsh lads out of Norwich. And they won the same bill. You know, and it was funny, like, you know, and they were. You know, it was right after that, but it was just funny, like, we were quite lucky. We trained everywhere, like Spain, right? Spain with Kiko Martinez, world champion, you know. It was like, we were quite lucky, like, we had Marty Patrick and his dad was out there. We had some such good times, you know. The boxing has only ever been good to me. And it's it just, you know, again, with all the fighters, I've been quite lucky to have met, and I've sparred with loads of people, like, you know, world champions, things like that. You know, and it's, you know, and they all seem to be like friends for life now, you know what I'm saying? That boxing world's a very fickle sport. Am I glad I've come away from it? Yeah. I'm glad I'm away from it. I'm perhaps I should have done it years ago. Perhaps if I concentrate on other things, I wouldn't be on my own, you know what I'm saying? I should have concentrated. But there's me thinking, but it's almost tomorrow, we've got tomorrow. I don't want to do that, so we've got tomorrow. I don't want to do anything. But what they say, I always remember Tony Simpson said when he boxed Marvin Hagler, I said he was going, I'll do this tomorrow. Do you know what? Tomorrow never come. And that's that happened with me. I got so focused with everything else, I took the thing off the pulse and everyone get involved. I lost out. Everybody's doing their own thing. You know, everybody's got on with their lives. And then that's why I had to regroup and go back again. You know, and it's, you know, was it Leo Sayer, one man band? Nobody knows or understands. I'm a one man band. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's, Jamie, I spoke to Joe, again, I thought, sorry, Jamie, because you put so much time and effort into me, I basically just disappeared. You couldn't get hold of me. And it was like, all of a sudden, it's, I phoned him the other day and said, like, we've got, you know, so I've got these couple of interviews. Listen, I don't know what's around the corner, do I? But if I can sort something out, I mean, if they're making films and videos about all these other people, and, you know, Why not me? You know, there might be some story out there we can fish some bones out of. You know, but I just want to have people. I run off with my new husband. I mean, my wife, you know. I don't know. It's just funny how life is, though, isn't it? So.
So, what do you say to those that say that you can't change?
Listen, no, I can change. I've got no problem there. But listen, one thing I've got to say, it's really true. Leper never changes spots, only fade away. And it's same, we said earlier, it's like, you back me in the corner, I'm going to come out fighting, ain't I? That's what I do, and I'm never going to be any different. But, you know, it's just nice now. And I can sit down, again, I can walk in place now, people actually come to see me, and that's quite nice. And one thing I've learned to be a little bit humble now, where sometimes I've seen people I haven't seen for a long time, and I've actually sat there and I've had to say sorry, whatever I've done. But it's a life I've led, and again, I didn't have no problem about it. Again, you know, we go back to what happened, that was not a problem. You never see me whine about the fact I got served up. Again, I've said it a couple of times already, I deserved it. So you can't expect to live the life I was leading and not to get a kick in the bollocks once in a while, because that's the name of the game we're in, isn't it? Again, I say to people, look, leave me alone. I'm not going to leave them alone. So I don't try not to get involved in anybody's business personally, because it's not my problem, you know. And it's when the people do phone me up, they go, you know, and I'm saying, what do you want out of me? You know, and it's hard, because it's the amount of people that ever do phone me. It's very rare. I'm very lucky some people will phone up and go, hello, Dom, how are you? Or, it's nice when they do that, because I've got nothing to give you. I've got nothing, except for my lorry. I'm very loyal. But I think that's just comes with part and parcel of life, though, doesn't it? So, but I've had to learn the hard way with them, and so have you, Jack. So it's the way it is.
Yeah. So what would you say to any younger person that is looking to go down the same roads as you did?
Well, the dark road, if you want, don't do it. So listen, I worked down this hostel, right? And it's in the middle of acne. There's lots of things going on. See them whatever they're getting up to. You know, and I seem to have quite a good relationship with a few of them out there. And I spoke to one of the lads, a really, really nice lad, you know. And I say to him, what are you doing with your life, mate? And he said, oh, I want to do this, I want to do it. I said, but mate, what you doing? You're going to end up dead or in prison. And it scares me, because he's a good lad. You know, there's a good lad. These ain't idiots out there. These are clever boys, they're cleverer than me. I said, how old are you? He goes, I think he's about 24. I said, so I'm 26 years older than you. I said, I'm only telling you because I know where you're going to end up. And it's like, you try, I would never tell them anything because they're not going to take it, you know, but you try and just give a bit of advice. And I just, I'm only telling you because I know where I've gone wrong. You know, what should I have done? you know, should I stay being that squire as a kid? Well, not really, because I know I always wanted to do the boxing, I always wanted to fight. And it's like, you know, again, we're going back to the regrets again. I should have concentrated, I should have kept away from certain things and concentrated on the boxing, not got involved in anything else. But it's like, you know, you say to the lads there, like, what advice should I give them? Go and get a job. Go and look for something like financial stability, which is easier said than done. And if I left school now with the credentials I had, I wouldn't even be able to work at McDonald's. You know, I mean, well, unless you want a Big Mac and chips, you know, you dirty, you know, and come them out of the job. But it's, you know, it's just a mad old world out there. And it's, I don't know. I think I'm perhaps I'm just getting too old for it. That's, but we just leave it up to the youngsters, I think. But, you know, what do I say to that?
Certainly a younger man's game, I think. But it's not the same as it was when
you were kids. But the kids nowadays, they're just sort of looking at their stab, yeah? They're not, you know, they're not interested in, I don't know, it's like all this stabbing, like, I just can't get me a bayonet. It's like, what's that about? I suppose that's where realistic, that's where I'm a bit of a Neanderthal, because we've got, you know, well, don't get me wrong, of course we had knives when we were bats, knives, you know, of course guns and stuff like that. But I was a bit like John Wayne. I was the quickest on the draw. You know, and it's, you know, thinking, well, you know, I know what it's like to be poked a little bit and, you know, being a bit wood and all that. Again, I don't want to go down that road tonight, but it has changed because there's no second chances out there nowadays. These kids, as soon as you look at them, they pull out knives bigger than themselves. Don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying, you know, I was an expert with a knife or whatever. I don't mean it like that. But, you know, you see the stuff on, like, the YouTube stuff you see on people on their phones. And one's got their dead on the floor dead. And it's like, what for, though? I don't get it. These are kids. Like, we sound like old farts here. Well, my dad will say, you watch too many video games. Do they know the damage they do to, I mean, obviously the other person involved, but their own families, themselves, and it's, you know, soul destroying, the amount of kids that are getting banged up is for nothing, you know, like, all this, you didn't show me any respect, you know, don't get me wrong, we were like that back in the day, you know, we walking somewhere, and me, I was running people back then, it was like, you know, you've been your big boy, and then they've been, and I happen to be their boy, and it'll be your life, you go, you have your little sector, and then things are sorted out that way. It's like, you know, it was just a funny life back then. It was like, you know, I was more than willing to try and show the people how tough I was, because I think that just stemmed from being bullied as a kid, and, you know, I wanted to have the, you know, because I wanted to have this reputation for an old man, for being, you know. I mean, it's like funny when you look at these books now. Not our bastards, yeah, okay, mum. Listen, there's probably a lot more people than me out there. I know there's probably a lot more nastier people, because believe it or not, don't get me wrong, we had to go out of battle and say it was, but then there's people, and people got no morals nowadays, you know, and it's like, you know, you know, don't get it's like, because, you know, you did what you had to do back then. But, I don't know, it just seems a nasty old world we live in now, you know, and it's, you know, you live, and there's no second place out there, is there? So, you know, just you better off just keeping out of everything. When I work at the shop, first of all, when I walk out that door, do not think about it. You know, I mean, I look after a house night time. That's a different job altogether. You know, if they're small ones, you've got to be on your toes a little bit more, because it's, you know, it is what it is, and it's, you know, again, it's like this, so I walk in this hospital in the morning, have a cup of coffee, see everybody, and it's, you just don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next day. I mean, you get a lot of people in there from homeless, mental health problems, cases, prison. The ones that seem to come from prison, they're sweet, because we're on the same level. Okay, you can't tell me nothing, or I can't tell you nothing. So, you know, the one thing I just try and do, I just try and treat everybody with the respect I want. So it's like, you know, you treat someone like a bit of shit, you know, because they don't care. They don't care who I am. They, you know, where I work, they don't care. So it's no good me going, oh, I'm trying to say, we're going, who the fuck are you? So you just try and treat people nicely. And it's a bit, I think I do get a point across sometimes. We don't have too much grief in there. We have a little bit of bit of shouting and screaming sometimes, but it's like, you know, his dad's all we've got to put up with, then I'm quite happy. But it's a different job. I said, like my friend would have landed in there 15 years ago, and he did not have the temperament then. It's different. I can see about the belief. I can, as you can tell tonight, I can talk a little bit. Trying to do the right thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if we can have straighteners anymore. People don't have straighteners anymore. They just...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If there was anything like that, if I'm going to do it, I'll be like hit and run. No, I'll do my work and get out, and I wouldn't sit there with mine in the view, because you don't know where it's coming from nowadays. You know, don't you? So if I always, this is one thing I've been gifted with, I know I can whack. And always have been lucky in that department. So if there was going to be any, I wouldn't be sitting there going, oh, yeah, I'll be in the car and I'll be driving. I don't give a fuck to drive home anyway, I would, because, you know, as we know nowadays, there's so much CCTV around that, you know, soon as you do something, you're banked the rights anyway. And that's, you know, the game. Prison ain't the first place I'm going to go on holidays. It's, you know, I can think of other things. Perhaps Canvey Island sounds nice, you know what I mean? Or Bognor. Bognor could do it for me.
No wrong with Bognor.
Not wrong.
I don't know. I think we're probably coming towards the end of the interview, really. But
did I mention, you know, I've got these two books out.
Yeah. You want to tell people about your book?
This one, Look Out the Shadows. This came out about 10 years ago. That came out. And then this me, I just won the was it Put's Total Eliminator against Chris Willis, good fight, nice fighter, nice lad. And then this one, Into the Light, which has just come out about a year and a half ago. Obviously look, Bella at the back, and then me looking like I've just done a bank robbery with a stocking on my head. Lovely. Yeah, they can still get these. And if you want to hear more, how can I put it, in-depth tales about certain things, they're probably the books for you. And then that's Out the Shadows, and that's by Ivan Sutton, and Into the Light by Jamie Bob. That's quite different. It's I'm being honest with you, it's just basically where I fucked a lot of things up, really, like my relationship with Nick. You know, I pay the price for that every day. And I just tend to fuck a lot of things up, but that's my middle name. Dominic fuck up niggas, you know what I mean? So, but no, he's quite honest. I try and be as honest as I can. You know, going, sorry if I bored people tonight, dribbling on, but I'm fed up talking about violence. It ain't me anymore. You know, it's like when I sit there and I go to work and everyone loves a battle story. I mean, it's funny, I mean, I've had people sitting at tables and they're like, oh my God. But then you think afterwards, I always remember we went out for dinner once, me and Nick, and some old friends of mine from Tenerife, and she was so true. We sat there, we had a lovely girl, telling talk stories. We got in the car, and it was a bit funny with me. I said, what's the matter, darling? She goes, you know what's so sad? You tell these lovely stories, about, you know, we were in whether it was Tenerife, Spain, and then somewhere along the line, someone gets knocked out. And goes, and you know, it's the first time ever I thought, pretty sad, really, ain't it? The fact that we go, I've been all around the world, you know, and also I've been Vegas, not people ain't Vegas, I've been to New York, not people ain't New York, Chicago, well no, Chicago's the only place I haven't actually been, not Thailand, and it is everywhere I've gone, because I couldn't have the attitude to perhaps have an argument with people. A good friend of mine called John, and I'm saying I'm John Crony, I met a good old school friend of mine. We went to, I'll tell you a little one there, we went to a restaurant one night. And my brother was there, his wife, all of us, and we had a bit of a conflict with some people inside. I waited for him to go outside. Got stuck in, my brother come out, my mate John, I upset the whole evening, basically. So, you know, we come back, finished on me, you know, these three went in, you know, whatever we done, we went back, finished on meal. And I always went, so again, I used to get pretty upset. It weren't just like people, I think I'm like, ugh. He used to really ruin me for days, but I just remember me and my mate John, we're walking back, and my mate Gary says it to me, Gary Bedford, if you're listening, and they go, Dom, wait a minute, goes, I wouldn't argue with people if I had half as good a left hook as you did, because I'd be knocking everybody out. And it was seen such a, again, as I say, and I promise you, anybody, there's a little bit more to me than people ever realise. Now, again, I'm luckier, again, we went to Ibiza, my mate, and we went out there with these, Henry, Danny, John, James, Master Bristow, and Tim Bristow, and then we, and I sat there telling all these stories, all weekend, it was all about these stories. I could have told you a million others. And it is a shame, you know, because when I sit there and I do say to them, especially, like, again, I mentioned Henry and people like that, but like Martin Bristow, it's so fun. And I said, Martin, my day, such a shame, and that's all people think I'm about. Perhaps it's my fault because it's why I tell people. But one thing I like is the fact that certain people have seen a difference. And believe me, like Jamie put a thing up yesterday, I am very complex, believe it or not. I'm not as simple as what people think. I can be like a dice, because it depends what day what you roll me, it depends what version you're getting. And it is hard, because in what I'm finding, there's no happy medium with me, you know, which I miss. It seems I've got this big hole in me, and it's a hole of, you know, I've had it for ages now, and it ain't nice. I get up in the morning sometimes and I go to work, I force myself to go to work, because I've got to do it, and all I do, I think, and I think about Bella, that's not going to work, because that's what we have to do. I can't sit my arse all day doing nothing, because that time's gone, it's just a shame how. You know, I thought, yeah, of course, I thought life was going to be different, you know. Again, it's my own fault, and I have to pay the price for that. But, you know, it could be a lot worse. I'm a lot better off than I was again at the beginning of the story 18 months ago. I'm in a better place than I was, and I'm hoping things can only get better. So, you know, it's down to hard work and putting the hours in, and I'm going to knock me on that. So, but, you know, I don't know what else I can say, mate.
I just want to thank you for being so open and honest and agreeing to do this, you know. It's really I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I mean, I hope it wasn't boring, because it's like a lot of people think, yeah, I'm going to say this, and you know, but I'm just fed up talking about that kind of thing now. And again, I'd just like to say, I've got to thank my friends out there, especially again, for Green and Emery. Without them, I wouldn't have been. And I've got like Nicky Theo. He's one up. He'd be a good interview for you in the future. I'll do something.
Try and make it happen.
Your number. There's so many power friends I've got out there, and I don't want to start naming names because people get out of the ancient. But again, again, Kevin Mitchell. These people come from nowhere when I went to talk to them. And well-known people for so long, and don't you know, I'm like Jack Shepherd, like these are good people, like Mark Wilson, I'm not going to go deep, but I could be able to sort of rattle off like hundreds of names. But it's just hard because, as you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. I mean, you could go and just bad patch, and they could be your best mate, and they could be telling you that's white over there, but you can't, as far as you're concerned, it's black. You can't see any different. I'm just saying, when it comes to my friends, I think at the moment I'm very gifted and I'm so very grateful, and I'm very grateful. You know, thanks for your time, and again, I didn't bore too many people. Again, you know, again, if you want to hear the glory stories, buy them in the book. You know, so, if not, make a really nice toilet bowl, you know what I mean?
Did I mention? I've got a book.
Lovely, mate. Lovely. Well,
you
have to send me,
you'll
get me a copy of
something, yeah? Yeah, we'll get you a copy over. Apocalypse, the poetic remnant of a troubled man. I come from a similar background to Dom. I started into the boxing as he did. I've got this out and another one out called Between the Streetlights and Red Lights. And they're both with War Cry Press, so it's the same printing label as well.
Something I've got to say to my friend Andy, who made the best lamb tonight. Andy Moles, Mr. Moles, Bazza, and you. We'll all meet up soon. Once this COVID thing's done, I mean, this is put a right spoke in for everybody. It's like with Jamie, I was going to try and surprise him, but obviously I can't because it's COVID thing. There's loads of things. It's just that anybody out there keep safe. I mean, you know, It's my brother out there. He ain't too well at the moment, but he's battling through. So, you know, we get some of ourselves here with him, so we'll meet again. But, it's a load of bollocks, really, ain't it? Because we've just got a power through and still nothing. You know, he's, what we're going to do, sit indoors all day and do nothing. It's, you know, it's just the way forward now, ain't it? So let's go. You know, let's go, let's rock and roll. So, is that okay?
That's brilliant. I've really enjoyed it. I hope people have really enjoyed it too. Feel free to leave comments down in the comment box. This will go up.
An old man very happy.
Yeah, it made me very happy.
There's young women out there.
Can we find double dates?
So, you know. But listen, again, it's the same. I mean, it's like there's so many people I'd like to thank. This my mate Brad, bloody everybody out there. You know, your mind goes blank, doesn't it? I've just seen them all. Their little faces are popping up here, you know what I mean? It's a good people. And it's, you know, on my birthday, we went up to Birmingham for a few days, and it's all the old lot, my mate Tank was there, Alex. I can bloody, can see you now, you've got a beard, but you know, you just put your face on. So I've forgotten your bloody name there, see, but it's just, you know, I'm very gifted. I've got all my friends all around the country, so I'm very lucky there. So, friends all around the world, so it's good. So, but I think the reputation precedes me sometimes, but it is what it is. All
right. Thank you, brother. I'll speak to you again soon. We will do, mate.
And Russell, don't get breakfast. You're a great interview, gents. That's what I like to see. That's what you like to see. So, all right. And it is my turn, by the way, Russ. Just everybody keep safe. Let's get this corona business sorted out. And, oh, look, there it is, Isaac. That's what I see. Isaac, lovely. He's a catch. That's what I'm saying. All right. Listen, everyone, take care. God bless and love you all, yeah? Speak to you soon. Bye, mate. Bye.
Love you, mate. Bye. Just want to thank everybody for coming on here and supporting this interview. I want to apologise for the technical issues towards the end. That can't be helped. I just thank you everybody for the support, and thanks Dom for being so open, honest and frank about your life. You know, and not going into the bits that everybody's heard before. So I'm just going to sign off now. Yeah, cheers, William. And cheers, everybody, for all the positive comments that we've had. We've had some nice numbers in here tonight. So, yeah, I shall see you again on episode 3. And we'll see what we can do. All right. Cheers, guys.